So last week we talked about, in the last few weeks, we've been talking about this idea of our beliefs, of what we believe, that turn into actions, and they become what we do, and then after what we believe, we start doing that, and eventually we start becoming it. This is an amazing transformation process that happens. As we believe something, and we put it into practice, we become it. And that's the way it works with the Word. The Word is not just letters written on a page. It's not just tradition handed down generations. It's not just words for wisdom and knowledge. The Word is to be experienced. We are to live it. We are to be it. It is to change us, to transform us. The Word is Jesus. It says in the Gospel of John, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That is literal. And we know it's literal because we go a little bit further down in the passage and it says, and the Word became flesh. That's, we're talking about the Christmas story now. But Jesus existed long before Christmas. We talked about it last week, and as you go up to Colossians, that it says in Colossians that Jesus, the Word, created everything. And everything was created through Him and in Him. And everything finds its purpose in Him. That one blows my mind every time. And then even if we go back to Genesis, we talked about this last week. That it says Jesus, that God spoke and said, let there be light, and there was light. And it goes through a whole list of everything God said, and let it be. That is the Word. And now we have the Word as we read it. And I keep saying, slow down. Do not read the Bible in a year, please. Do not do that. Read the Gospel of John in a year. Take it in. Meditate on it. Savor every word like you would a fine meal. It is there to nourish us. It is there to grow us. It is there to become part of us. So where we came to is that we hear the Word, remember? Then we do the Word, and then we become the Word. So that's that transformational process. And you know, I'll give you some examples. One that keeps hitting me is we did the book of James. And we had that verse about being quick to listen and slow to speak. I gotta tell you, that is good advice. That is good advice in every situation, and especially good advice in a marriage, especially in any kind of relationship you have. Just listen. Don't say a word. Listen. Slow to speak. Quick to listen. That is brilliance. Every therapist out there, every marriage counselor out there should be telling people this. And God keeps putting that back on me over and over. And then there is where it says that we are a new creation. That the old is dead. That's literal. The old town is gone. He resurfaces every now and then, sadly. But there's a new creation that doesn't have all that baggage. That Jesus is the answer for all that. Anybody carry any baggage from their past? Anybody carry any baggage from their parents? We love our parents, but you know what? They're not perfect. Anybody got a little bit of trauma going on? Any PTSD? And I'm not talking about going through the war. Plus, we got Veterans Day coming up. Those men and women, oh, they got some PTSD going on. Well, we got some PTSD going on just from our parents as we're coming up, because you can't be a perfect parent, so you got some baggage. But that old is gone, and the new is here. I'm going to be counseling two different couples within the next year about getting married. We're going to be talking a lot about the old is gone and getting rid of some of that baggage. And don't be coming into this marriage with 20 different trunks full, each of you, and start unloading it. That's gone. We are a new creation. So I want us today to take this literal. We only have two verses today. Only two verses, but they are so powerful. As a matter of fact, they're so powerful, you can see from the slide I'm bringing up that like every other word is highlighted. How many times do we do that? I usually highlight one or two words, usually one. And this thing's got like 9 or 10 of them highlighted because it's so powerful. This is out of the book of Hebrews. It says, for the word, remember what the word is? What's the word?
God.
Jesus. For the word of God is alive. Alive. Living, breathing, literal. Remember, we're taking this literal. The word. It's like it's coming, like we have an animation going on here, okay? The word is alive, it's breathing, it's living. The word of God is alive and it is active. I have been talking about activating the church for almost a year now. That word has been so deeply on me that we need to activate people. We need to activate everybody. We need to activate the pastors. We need to activate the people. What do I mean by activate? What I mean is simply that we're out there sharing, like with our neighbors, like with Sharon, that we're talking to our kids, that we're pouring into people, that we're reading the word, that we are growing. We are active. We're not passive. We're not just sitting there we're not trying to flip through it in a year and see how much we can, okay, I made it through the whole Bible in a year, look at me. But we don't understand it when we go that fast. So we're taking it in. We're active with it. We're engaged with it. The Word of God is alive. It's a living thing. And anybody, when you read the Word, have you ever read the Word? And then you read it a year later, and it says something a little bit different. I mean, it didn't say any words different, and you still understood the thing it told you last year was still true, but it gave you a new piece of information, a new insight about that word. It happens all the time. That's because the word is alive, and it is active. It is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It penetrates. It goes beneath the surface. Remember we talked about that mirror, about looking in the mirror. We talked about all that baggage, all that stuff underneath. You know what I'm talking about. It penetrates into all that baggage. It's like, okay, I got these 20 trunks of stuff. It opens up every one of them simultaneously. It starts throwing out all the clothing. And looks at every stain on every piece of clothing and throws it all in a washer and gets it sparkling clean. But it doesn't put it back in the trunks. You know what I'm saying? It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit.
It can reveal things.
It can reveal. It makes you look at stuff, right? And what Juan is saying, it can hurt you, but actually what it's doing is it's revealing. It's showing you. Because we all know that that stuff's underneath the surface. And we all know it's bubbling over. And we all know it's coming out of left field, and it's coming into our relationships, and it's coming into our attitudes, the way we look at things. We're going to get to the thoughts and attitudes in a minute. So it's penetrating into, beneath the surface, dividing soul and spirit. Soul and spirit are not the same thing. We have our spirit. Our spirit is our direct connect to God. Our spirit is our direct connect to the Holy Spirit. We have our spirit and we have our soul. I read a book once that actually went into what is a soul. And it's deep. It's about that thick by a guy named Washington Nee, who the most prolific author I've ever read. It'll take you a year to read this book. And the whole book's about the soul. And he uses nothing but scripture and he describes what the soul is. And the best depiction I can give is the soul is like this VU meter, and it's choosing what are we going to be about right now. Are we going to be about time? Or are we going to be about God? Time, God, time, God, time. Kind of guy, kind of time. And it's bouncing all over the place. Mostly, to tell you the truth, that old time is time, 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 time. It's banging on the back end of the VU meter here. And every now and then, it'll shoot over here to God. And that transformation, that new creation is God. Our soul is choosing God. You have to read the whole book because that's just, like I said, it's like 300, 400 pages long. So that's a real short synopsis. But I think that he's onto something there. It's dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Joints and marrow are really connected in the body. It's really hard to disconnect those. They have to do surgery to do that. It judges the word. Remember, we're talking about the word. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Now, I got to tell you, that's a scary thing. If anybody could read my mind at any time, how do you think that would go? Yeah, I see some grimacing. You know, if people could read your mind before you had a chance to think through, if people could read your mind and get some of your attitudes that you got going on about them, I think our younger generation talks all about the attitude and stuff. But God reads, He judges, He reads, He judges. Yes, judges. Even though we don't like to be judged, and we shouldn't be judging others, God is judging us. You better believe it. He's judging our thoughts. That's why I always put such a high level on what a sin is. Sin is every thought, word, and deed. Not just what you do. Every thought, not just what you say, every word, every thought. That's why I know nobody's walking around sinless. Because they can't control every one of those thoughts. And that person says, you know what those thoughts are that are ready to come out. And luckily, usually we have a little bit of self-control. We have that fruit of the Spirit that we don't say those things. But they're there. We have every thought, word, and deed. He is judging by the word. Is judging every thought and attitude. And I'm telling you, everything's about attitude. You can change your life if you change your attitude. You can change your life if you change your attitude. The way we look at something means everything. You know, we've talked before about it, like if somebody's a quadriplegic, and I don't know if the story was true or not, but you know, a quadriplegic could sit at home and say, oh, look at me, poor me, somebody weighed on me. And that same quadriplegic could get some artificial legs and climb Mount Everest. And the only difference was the attitude that they had about what was going on. And then the word is judging our thoughts and our attitudes of the heart. The heart. Sometimes we just need a change of heart. Anybody need a change of heart today? I do every day, every minute. God needs to be changing my heart all the time. And He's using this word. If I slow down, if I take it in, and if I let it transform me, He will change the attitude of my heart. Next verse. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. I gotta tell you, this thing's been at me all week. And out of this, all these beautiful words that I highlighted, account. We must give account. That means, you know, I talked about that one guy, I think I told you guys about, he's 70 years old. He's 84 now. And at 70, he felt like God said to him, what have you done for me? And he's been a Christian since 1958. And he felt at 70 years of age, he felt God say to him, what have you done for me? So he spent the next 14 years simply listening to God and doing whatever God told him to do. God would say, hey, I want you to go to McDonald's down the street. Now, he didn't know why he was going to McDonald's. He didn't know what was going to happen at McDonald's. He didn't know who was at McDonald's. But he decided after 70 years that God said to him, what have you done for me? Giving account. He wanted to give account for his life. That he went to McDonald's and he met four people. And he ended up engaging in four different conversations. He's been doing that every day since. Maybe not McDonald's, maybe Starbucks, maybe the neighbor. I don't know. We give an account to God. What would your ledger look like? And mind you, you're under grace. So you're good either way. It's not going to stop you from getting in heaven. It's not going to stop you from being with God forever and ever and ever. It might have a little bit to do with that crown He's going to give you and what's in that crown. I constantly believe that that crown is people. I think for sure that crown that God will give you at the end of time when you're standing before Him are people. People that you touched, people that came to Him, people that became children of God because of a word. There's that word again. Because of a word you gave them. And maybe it wasn't that they gave their life to Jesus Christ at that moment. Maybe you just planted a seed and maybe you watered a seed. But every one of those plantings, every one of those waterings, every one of those harvesting is going to be part of our crown. And we'll see all those people in heaven because everybody's connected through Jesus. And Jesus said, dear Father God, may they be one as I am one with you. May they be one with me. May they be one with one another. That's the guarantee that we'll see our loved ones in heaven. And not just our loved ones, but every solitary person who is in Christ, past, present, and future. And some of them will be there because of you. So when I think of that I must give account, I never looked at it before, but a count of how many people, of how many, what I've gotten done, like that guy who was 70, I don't want to wait to 70. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. You know, we can compartmentalize our lives all we want. We can think that we can hide things from God. We can think that we can only talk to God about some things but not other things. But that's all a lie. Because God sees every attitude, every intention of our heart. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. So what do we do with all this? Hear this. Know this. Experience this. The Word is alive and active. It's not just, I don't know, okay, let's just get real. Have you ever read the Bible and read through one of the stories like Jacob or Noah and just read it? And just, well, you know, Noah got in the ark and a bunch of animals came on there and we're just getting some information. There's nothing wrong with that. Information's good. But what's going on in that story? What is happening? Do we stop down? That's why I say slow down. Do we stop down and say, what was Noah thinking? What was his neighbors, like his neighbors must have thought he's off his rocker. And what is he thinking? And what's that ark smell like? I mean, just all these animals in there. How do you get ventilation? I mean, live it. Experience it. And watch what it does to you. It will change you. I guarantee it. But if we just flip through it like we're reading the latest novel, we'll miss it. The Word is alive and active. So our assignment is, I want you to really slow down and read these two passages. This is Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. I want you to actually, I would love for you just to rewrite the whole thing in your own journal. And then I want you to look at it and see what words are popping out at you. And what questions do you have about it? What is it speaking to you? And see how this can change you. These two verses will change your life, guaranteed. So how can you personally, once you do all that, and then how can you live it out? How can you be it? How can you be that word to other people, maybe? How can you be that word when you look at yourself in the mirror? What's God telling you from these two passages? And then who can you go share it with? You know, you talked about Lisa. I think Lisa needs to take a break. She needs to slow down at 100 hours a week. I think if she just took these two verses in, and it wouldn't take that long, maybe 10 minutes to really take some time with it. It's only two verses. I think it will speak to her. And I think she'll find some relief. And I think she'll experience. We are experiencing God when we read the Word of God. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that it's meant more than just to educate us, to inform us, but to change us. We ask for that transformation from your Word. We ask for that transformation from your Son. We ask that we are transformed into the children that you call us to be. And maybe we're not perfect children, that's okay. And maybe we're even naughty children, that happens. But we are your children, and we're having conversation with you. We're sitting on your lap and telling you what our day was like. And we're breaking the lamp and admitting that we broke the lamp. And we're dealing with our brother and sister in a loving way and sometimes a not loving way. But we're having relationship, experiencing you. May we experience you by experiencing your Word and our Lord, Jesus Christ. And all the church said, amen. Amen.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Have your way in me. See, what we're talking about here, remember we were talking about that new creation. Have you ever heard the saying, let it become your second nature? I always look at that like as a skill set, okay? Like if you're doing something, you do it in repetition enough, it becomes so easy to do it, it just becomes second nature to do it. You don't even think about it anymore. You just do it, right? That's what I'm saying today. Let it be your second nature. And isn't that appropriate that this is our second nature? Our first nature is pretty messed up. Our first nature is that Adam fallen thing. And, we're all got all that baggage and all that stuff. But we are a new creation. As we took communion today, we reinforced that we are a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. Let this be our second nature. Let's be second nature people. Our new creation people. Let us be to this place where every breath, every moment, have your way in me. In me. The word is in. Not of me. In me. In me, through me, around me, influencing others. Let us pray, dear Father God. Have your way in me. Let me be a second nature, a new creation kind of person. And have your way in me. We thank you, dear Father God, for this message. We thank you for the power of your word. We thank you for our Lord Jesus. We thank you for our life. Have your way in us. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Send me a text. Let me know what is going on with those two verses. Those are very powerful verses in the Word. Use them. Have an amazing week. We are dismissed. God bless you.